And I it's just I didn't elaborate it too much, but once I read about Jethro and Moses, and I didn't check in the text and in the Torah or nothing yet. Actually, just came this thought, and I would like to ask you because I read that, or I cannot say exactly the source, but it was like that Moses and Jethro was all together when receiving the Torah, the commandments, sayings, and I would like to ask you about it and listen what you think about it, that they were like together in the mountain. Have you heard it?
It says it's a midrash that says according to the words Vayishma Yitro, and Jethro listened, or he was listening, he heard about the assembly next to the mountain. It's written in the Bible Vayishma Yitro, Vayishma Yitro, and Yitro listened. And upon those two words there is a midrash that says what did he hear? He heard a rumor, yes, that people are assemble around the mountain. Da, 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 da. He heard that something is happening, and he came. This is Vayishma Yitro, and Jethro heard, yes. And later he was there, and he gave advice to Moses, yes, to appoint like different ministers that he cannot sit and judge every day or the whole day the whole people. That he will nominate or appoint different ministers to judge different levels of judgment, and he, Moses, will judge only the high cases. He says to Moses, if you will sit from morning to evening and judge the people according to their trouble every day, you will melt like a flower without water. So please nominate or appoint for yourself or for the people different kind of judges in different levels, and Moses will judge only in a high court or high issues. This is regarding the words of Ishmael, and Jethro was listening or listened or heard that something is happening, because, so to speak, he was his father-in-law, Moses. And also at the moment of the mountain, only Moses was there, because Zipporah and two sons, Zipporah returned before Moses after the conversation in the burning bush. Because when Moses was asked to remove his shoes, the sages are saying to remove from duality, like from life of husband and wife. So, because he had this mission to go and non-duality, yes, to go to Egypt and take the people out. So, the request to remove the shoes was to withdraw from his wife and family life. So, Zipporah went back with her two sons to Jethro, her father, to stay there until Moses will return to Egypt with Aaron and all the stories, until Pharaoh would give his consent to send the people. So, after the 10 plagues, they left Egypt and arrived at the mountain after 7 weeks of the Exodus, and Jethro heard. Meaning not just Jethro, because also Zipporah is with him and the two sons or grandchildren. So they came. Does it make any sense now, Felipe?
Yes, it makes it's very interesting because as far as I remembered, Jethro wasn't there. I couldn't grasp this by memory, by heart, and this reading was that I don't know, we could speak in a symbolic way, but it was like Pietro was with Moses in the very moment, up in the mountain, you know, just as a companion. And I thought that it wasn't, I never heard about it, so I wanted to ask about this.
We read, it is said that he heard about the assembly of the people around the mountain, and he came. And he came from Midian with his daughter Zipporah and the two grandchildren. Yes. And there is another saying, maybe you mean that one of the portions of the Torah is named after him. There is a portion called Parashat Yitro. You see? Four letters, Yitro.
Yes.
Those are almost the same letters as the Torah. Yes, when the Yod turns into Hey, it's the Torah. And maybe this is because people ask, how can it be that one of the portions of the Torah is named after him? Because it's too, like there is one portion is named after Sarah. It's a lot of respect to give a portion, the portion name after a name, yes? So, Vayishma Yitro, Parashat Yitro, this is the parasha in which the man, how do you say, the commands were given, Parashat Yitro. Yitro, Torah. So you see Yitro, yes, Yitro and Torah almost are the same. Look, just order the letters and you will see. Where did you read this? Yes, Felipe?
This is beautiful. It's because I also thought about this, you know, this parashat with his name. There are few parashot that are named after personal names, let's say. And I was always intrigued by it.
Yes.
So it's beautiful. Thank you, Betty.
You're most welcome. Most welcome. Any question? Fernando, did you read something lately? Cindy, Jill, would you like to share something happening?
Betty, just to add something to this, what Felipe just brought, that is quite nice about Yitro. I can remember that Yitro repeat always, I am Yitro, your father-in-law. You know, he presents himself many times, right?
Yes.
And I can remember that Luria speaks that this is because of I'm speaking here from memory, so please correct me, right? But mm-hmm. I can remember that Luria is speaking that this is about the gematria of this phrase, and he relates Yitro and Moses with Cain and Abel. So I was thinking here it that what Felipe brought, you know, this idea of being together in the mountain, a corrected version of Cain and Abel. And I was thinking about this unity, this non-duality, like you said, like to bring all the stars of our constellation. I don't know if it makes sense, but what do you think about it?
About what?
About this unity, about this corrected version of Cainanim and Hevel that is presented by Yitro and Moses.
Yes, it means that there are no two. Yes? Non-two. Non-two. Also, the going out of Egypt is what does it mean to leave Egypt? What does it mean to leave Egypt? To quit on the premise that there is a past and there is a future. This is the duality, because we're living in the past or we're living in the future. Yes? So to quit on the concept of there is a past and there is a future and there's only now. And once there's only now, which is what is happening in being, so once we quit on the notion of past and future, there's only now, and this is what the Exodus means. It's very simple. To quit on this idea that there is past and there is future. And what is remaining only now, this very moment, is now. There's only now. All the rest is just different pictures, memories, and so, that are coming and going, appearing and disappearing. About the mountain, there's a saying. Let's go into it. You mentioned a mountain. There's a saying. There is a mountain. There isn't a mountain. Meaning, there is a mountain entity. There isn't a mountain. It disappears. And then there is a mountain again. So there's appearance and disappearance. Appearance and disappearance. Appearance and disappearance. Mountain is also a parallel term or a concept to a thought. And a thought is only a shadow. Again, like when we stand next to the sunlight and we can see that the body makes a shadow, we are not the shadow. And in the same manner, we are not the thoughts, or we are not our thoughts, and we are not our shadow. Again, is this clear? Let's say Fernando has a thought, crossing you, some kind of thought. Felipe, Jill, Yane, Cindy, a thought is coming. And something, through these thoughts, there's a comment inside. And you think, Jill think, this is my thought. So Fernando, whatever coloration it has, idea about what, where, Fernando think this is his thoughts, Jill, Yanis, and Cindy, but it's not. This is only a shadow. A thought is only a shadow. It's a reflection of something. Like when you stand in the sun and you see a shadow, the shadow or the form of a shadow or the fact that there is a shadow does not say anything about us, about you. Only object can give a shadow when the object meets the light. So this is a basic question. What is a thought? If a thought is shadow. Thought is in a way object. What would you say about it, Fernando?
It is interesting. It is. From where comes the thought?
From what?
Where
I didn't
did
hear
come?
That.
You know,
where
do
they?
Thought?
Yes.
Where
yes.
Is the origin?
Yes. Yes. Where do they come from? They are being presented as pictures in our minds, or they are being presented as sequence of words, yes, or as an idea, but they're not ours. Where do they come from, and on which background can they even appear? How does Jill experience or see her thoughts? Yanis, how do you experience or see your thoughts? Cindy, how do you experience or see your thoughts? Felipe as well, you can unmute and speak. How does it come to you that you are even capable of thinking, or something comes to you? How does it happen in daily life? What happens in a daily life? Jill, Yanis, Cindy, Fernando, Felipe, what happens? In daily living, what happens to you? How do you, it comes to you even that there is a thought crossing you? Can you describe a daily happening, just casual happening? How does it come to you? You can unmute and speak. How does it happen? In which state are you? How does it come to you? Yanis. Yes, Jill?
I would say that from different inputs. It
yes.
Sometimes it just came from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes comes from marketing. You know, you are passing through some outdoor.
Mm-hmm.
Meet you.
Yes.
Or through social media. You know, from the eyes or from the from the ears. Or from the heart, it comes from different regions, I would say.
Yes. And on which background? How do you have the notion that something is being perceived or being reflected inside of you? Even it comes through the eyes, like you say, or through the ears, or from the heart, or from nowhere. Where is the receptionist stand? Where is the reception, Fernando? How do you have a notion that you receive something even? It doesn't matter from which door, heart, eyes, ear, and so, the air. How do you get the notion that something enters, so to speak, your domain? Where do you get this from? That something enters to the system? It's a system. Where do you get this sense that something enters you? Or the realm of your thoughts.
In the body, I would say it.
In the body. And what happens when something like this enters? What happens inside of you?
It can bring like your heart to accelerate if it's something bad. It can bring you peace sometimes. It can bring you desires to buy or to do something or to eat.
And when it comes to you, it comes in different, like you say, waves, colors. Sometimes you want to eat, you want to buy, you want to do something. When it comes to you, with it comes the notion that I am Fernando feeling it. What when you feel it, it is coming to you. What comes with it? Does it feel only I would like to visit this place, this natural reserve, or I would like to be in this trip, or it comes with it another thing that says, me, Fernando, wants to do it. How does it come? Only by itself? Or it comes with a sense of proclamation, me, Fernando, wants to do it?
Yes, I think that sometimes it has this identification. You know, this is my thought. And sometimes it's not, we do not have this sense of identification.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Jill, how it is for you? How do you experience this daily?
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yes. Good evening for you. For me, I do a lot of, even before I wake up, then these thoughts are all, and I wake up with thoughts already in my head. And it kind of has me thinking, okay, I have to either improve on something that happened yesterday, or I have, you know, a lot of stuff that I have to do beginning at the start of the day. And I've kind of been like that for a really long time. And it ends up dictating my entire day, so that it's hard to stay in the now. It's always what was happening yesterday and what's going to happen moving forward. And so it's a lot to constantly think that, you know, these thoughts is what's kind of running my life, and they're not even mine.
Yes. Yes, they're not ours. Yes, any thought that appears or sentiment, they're not ours. And it is interesting because you said that before you wake, they're already there. Tzva Shamayim, the heavenly army of thoughts, is already ready at the gate. Is that so, Jill?
Yes, it's I wake up to thoughts. Unless I'm extremely tired when I go to sleep at night, then I wake up to so many thoughts in my head. It's just it's sometimes overwhelming, because that's how I just run my life. You know, I get up and it's like, okay, I gotta fix this, I have this to do, and that's all I do. Like it's like almost like a habit. Yeah, it's like a bad habit, because I can't rest. I'm just always doing something, because it's just like this tons of stuff that comes at me a lot of the time.
And did you try to sit to sit with a coffee or tea, just to sit and watch those thoughts coming to you?
That would probably be something I could try to do. Me and my sister, we get together and we will put all of our thoughts on paper, because she's similar to me, and just to get them out of our heads. So it's like, what, we can't possibly do all of this. So it probably would be good for me to start my day by just being quiet, versus just getting into trying to do all the things. It's a lot. It's a lot of things that I'm always doing. And so for me, it's hard to sit still. And so I'm always go, 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 like all the time. It's like I said, it's a really bad habit that I've had for a long time. But sitting in class, you know, quiets my mind. And yeah, this helps a lot. My mind is always like moving.
Yes. Yes, this is very, it's very good that you described that the mind is all the time moving. Yes, what the mind does, the brain, it separates and negates at the same time. It happens to all of us. This is how it is. This is the mechanism. This is the program. It separates and then negates. Separates and negates. And as you feel all the time, X trouble, shoot, X trouble, this is I have to shoot, this is I have to fix, this I have to organize, get, da 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 da.
Yes, that's exactly how it feels.
Yes, yes. So, already awaken the first moment into battle mode. Doesn't matter what to kill, what to do, what destination, what's, how do you call it, purpose. It just, there, the army of thoughts, yes, is already waiting. It's already waiting, but good news, those are not our thoughts. This is not who we are. It's only a shadow. You just ripple like the wind goes through the river and there ripple on the water. Yes? This is just a reflection of the light, of the source. It's not the source. It's not who we are. So, if someone has this mood, we say has a mood because we tend to think, this is how the thinking goes, it's mechanical. We tend to think that I have a mood, a good mood, a bad mood, a windy mood, a sour mood, whatever. We don't have moods. We are incapable of having anything. Something, a ripple or a movement moves along the river and we get a reflection, whatever color the reflection has, or mood or mode, is not, this is not who we are. This is not Jill, Fernando, Felipe, Yanis, and Sin. This is not. It's just when you look at the view and suddenly there is a wind that moves through the trees, and the leaves are moving, and there are ripples in the water of the river. You look into a picture, and there's a movement, but there's no identity or identification, yes, with what is happening. There is no identification. This is what they say, empty eyes. You look into this happening with empty eyes, no subject object, no Jill has to go to now, let's say to New York and get something, a purpose there. No, this is not to, you sit with empty eyes, no purpose, no attention, and see what is moving. And what is moving or appearing, this is not Jill, and not Yanis, and not Cindy, not Felipe, nor Fernando. It's not. What is happening has no identity. Again, what is happening has no identity. What is happening now in the world? There are about 8 billion people. Has no identity. There is what is happening, what now moves through the world, has no personal identity. Do you understand? And people think, this is the mistake, to think I have a bad mood, or there's a gray day, and I'm a bit low, and I'm a bit down. No, you're not low, and you're not down, and you're not up, and you're not high. What happens, happens, and there is no identity. If there is no identity with what is happening, so you don't have to work or to act against it. Yes. Do you understand the math? If there is an identification with what is happening, immediately there will be a response. Again. If you identify with something, immediately there will be a mechanical response against it. Yes? And here is the complex. So the key is not to identify with what is happening. If we identify with what is happening, immediately will come a response, because this is how it is built in. Deviate, yes, and contradict. But if there is no identity, it just moves away. And then comes another, let's say, scene from the movie. But whatever appears on this screen is not ours. We're just watching it. This is empty eyes. This is why the Torah is also called empty eyes. It's another midrash from the Zohar, but just to say empty eyes. Yes? What we do is what Jacob has when he sees Rachel. And Rachel is beautiful to look at and beautiful at appearance. There is a relation of subject-object, me and my target, me and my goal, me and my purpose. And then you have the relation of duality. Do you understand? Fernando? It is very challenging because the tendency is to identify. What is to identify is to attach to something that is there and say, this is me, this is defines me, and immediately there's a comment. Yes, but see this as just a poster that moves, another scene, another scene from a movie, and then you don't have identification, let's say. It happens every morning. You see the house after the night with glasses, people awake, You see this mess in the morning, and the tendency is to say, we live here, and this is the house, and I should take care of things, and you start a war with the kitchen, with the utensils, with the glasses, with the, and you're finished. But if you just look at it, okay, this is what anyways has to be done. But just sit, look at a tree, drink something, relax, watch it. Anyway, it has to be sorted, taken care of, washed, cleaned, but not now. Because if it starts with this house against me, it will be a disaster. Yes. If you sit in the morning and after the night, you know what's happening, we awake, and it doesn't matter. But you wake up and you see what is happening, the tendency, how to say, the mechanical response of the brain, of the body, is me and the house, or me and the kitchen, or just sort it. To a level, it will be acceptable. Do not look like this, you know, after ocean in a storm. Yes. So you want to settle your mind. You want to see this some, but you don't start the morning with this. Once you against the kitchen, guess who wins? Me against the kitchen. Me against the house. Who will win? You know, better not to start. And there's no mood, and we are sad, and we have bad life. Yes? Ignore it, because this is gravity. This is what is happening every morning. Every morning you meet this house after a war. Yes? This is gravity. Gravity wins. This is what it is. Recognize it. So you wake up in the morning, you see this charade, you drink something, take a shower, and you move on. And at some point during the day, when your spirit is up, or you feel like it, it comes to you, not it battles with you, who's going to win, me or the house. Do it in batches. Yes? Because this is what we meet every day in the morning. This is the picture. Just an example. You can unmute and speak from your experience. Even with a dishwasher, you cannot imagine how does it look every morning here. You just cannot imagine, and there's no chance. It just, you admit defeat, and you smile to yourself, and you say, okay, defeat. I drink my coffee, and I'm happy. Yes, defeat. This is gravity. Who's going to win? Gravity. Don't start with it. We are not gravity. It's very simple. We're not the shadow, and we're not gravity, so why to fight with gravity? Also the thoughts. They are just rotating inside Jill, yes, in the morning, rotating, yes, as moon. Moons, you know, they are like planets that have moon around. So you're already mooning by your thoughts. So leave them, rest them, you know, put them somewhere. Yes. On a swing. Let them wing themselves. But what do you have to do with them? They're not yours. Let them rest or swing, whatever. Because the nature of the brain, of the mind, is always to attack. Divide puts a barrier between us and the world. Jill and the world, Cindy and the world, Giannis and the world, Felipe and the world, Fernando and the world, yes? This is what it does, and then attack. First separate, there are two, and then attack. And it gives you also strategy. Because it's very, this is what the mind does. Gives you also a strategy how to win the war. Of course, there's no use to do it. So if there isn't me in the world, there's only life. And what comes just appears and disappears. So there is no battle plan. You know, there is no battle plan. There's just life as it comes to us in a moment. What is more charming? That suddenly you find a flow to move and the hand is just moving something casually, and by moving it's getting sorted, or you come with a program, I'm going to win this battle in the bathroom. Yes, I'm going to sort this bathroom forever. Of course, after one person gets into the bathroom to the shower, everything just melts. So there is no need to start with a battle. It comes to you. And you see something is moving to you slowly, just it comes at you, yes, and then you move with this waltz. Let's say, look at a cat. Cat is not like a dog. A dog, you can command, you can train, you can seduce them or give them like candies or something, bribe dogs, yes, to do what you want. This is how they tame them. But with a cat, it's not like that. If cat does not find itself being friend with you, he will not approach he will not approach or come alone. So life, in a way, is like a cat. Let it come to you. If you sense that already battle is going on, just leave it. Okay, there's a battle. Okay, this is what is happening. Lose interest in the battle. It's not interesting. And then you will have like a moment of peace or more. And let it come to you. Okay, this is what it is. It is windy today, let's say. There's a war at the moment. There's war in 8. Everybody's recruiting back in position. This is what there is. Okay. It's useless to fight. And here comes a very beautiful lore. Maybe most of you know the lore. It's a lore about 3 and 4. Have you heard this lore before? The lore about 3 and 4? It's a beautiful lore. Yes. Maybe Felipe or Fernando heard it before. Yes. It's about King Solomon. The King Solomon had a daughter that he loved. And he cared for her. But he had one concern. She was a princess. She was the daughter of the king. She's a princess, yes? He had one concern about or regarding her. What will happen to her when she will grow up? Who will marry her? After all, she is a daughter of a king. So he came to the sages of time and asked them, who will marry that they will look into the stars, into their calculations, into parables and stories, and tell him or grant him a promise. Who will marry the princess when her time comes to be wed? And the sages looked very well, and they told the king that a poor poet will marry her. And King Solomon was so upset. He says, return to your studies and come again with a different groom. And they say, no, it's already been done. She will marry a poor poet. King Solomon was very mad. And he looked into the Mediterranean and found an island. And he built a tower on the island. The island, of course, is surrounded by water. So he built a tower there and put 70 guards and put also boats and ships to guard the island. And in the tower, he put his daughter. And also in the tower, he put more guards next to her room. And in the garden, around the tower, there was a garden, and he puts also guards there. And he supplies the tower with whatever they need. Food, not lack anything. And he asked the guards and the people in the ships and in the boat to send him every day an update. If someone tries to, let's say, penetrate or come to the island or to the tower, immediately report to the King Solomon of what is happening. Of course, the princess was so sad. She was there alone and with the books, and she used to look at the orchard from the window. She could not leave the tower. This was the command of the king. And meanwhile, in a parallel city, in one of the Mediterranean cities, a very poor poet left his hometown and took his little bag on his back. And with his cane, he was wandering in the villages and in the field. And the day came to end, the sunset, and the storm came. And he didn't know what to do, how to hide from the storm, but he noticed that in the field there was a skeleton of a bull. And he said to himself, okay, maybe I can lie down inside of the skeleton and it will protect me from the storm. And so he did, and he went to sleep. Meanwhile, came an eagle, and with his beak took the bull, the skeleton of a bull, and lifted it with a poor poet, and flew few hundreds of kilometers, and arrived at the tower where the princess was hidden, and he put the skeleton of a bull next to her door and left the building. In the morning, the princess woke up from her sleep. She opens the door and she sees, to her amazement, a skeleton of a bull, and inside she saw a young man. She was so surprised but also very happy, and she waited until he will wake up, and then she told him where he is, and he could not believe her because he said that he went to sleep in a skeleton of a bull last night in the field, and how can it be that he is here with her in the tower? And she explained him that the great eagle brought him with, and they immediately became friends and sat in the room and wrote a few poems together. The guards that were on the building suddenly heard sounds of people are speaking to each other, and they were concerned and having worried, and they didn't know what to do. How can it be that somebody entered the tower without their noticing? And they immediately wrote a letter to the king that, to say, hey, please be aware, we were guarding all night in the morning by ships, by boats, but everything, but there's a person with the princess in the tower. So they wrote a letter, they sent a messenger, and King Solomon came stormy to the tower, climbed the stairs, came to the last floor, and bang, bang, bang on the door. Of course, the princess and the poet were afraid. And she opened the door, and he said, what are you doing here? How is it even possible that somebody's here with you? I heard from my guards. And suddenly he saw this young poet with his cane and with his bag on his back, with ink and a feather, writing poems. And he didn't understand. He was furious. But he saw that the princess was smiling, and he was smiling too. And he remembered the advice of the sages of time, that she will marry a poor poet. So he said for them a wedding. And he understood that he cannot do anything against it, because this is how it is. This is how it is. And this is the law about 3 and 4. The law was written in relation to one of the Proverbs verses. The law about 3 and 4. So we, in a way, this is, who is King Solomon? Yes? Who is King Solomon? Is it an ancient king? Think about it. With all our plans to protect, to prevent, I know what is best, and so on. Because this is a Felipe. Hello, hello, can you hear now? Do the sound is coming? Yes, yes. So what was the last sentence that you heard? What was it, the last sentence that you heard? The law is established, yes, Felipe?
I asked about 3 and 4 that you were going to speak about it.
Yes. The law is written according to a verse. 1 second, I'll give you the source of it. This is one of the Solomon saying, Shlusha hem anifle'u mimeni. Yes, 3 are wonders in my eyes or from me, and the 4th I would not know. This is Proverbs 30, verse 18. Again, Proverbs 30, verses 18 and 19. This is it. According to this verse, the law, yes, was written. Yeah. Who is Solomon? Who is Solomon? Is this an ancient king? Why usually people tell lores and legends? Is it because there was a historical king once? Who is Solomon in us? Because there isn't, it's not two, it's non-duality. Yes? It's not Solomon and me. Yes? There's Solomon within us as well. Think about it. Think about it. There is a podcast, we recorded a podcast several years ago about the lore of 3 and 4, if you'd like to listen to it again. Yes? Think how many times, yes, we have strategies to bypass, to undo, to go against. We have plans, yes? How to conquer the world, how to establish new ways, how to reinvent. Of course, it's not possible. It's a little lore, but it teaches a lot about us. Thank you for being here with us today. Do you have any question that you would like to ask? Felipe, Fernando, Yanis, Cindy, Jill, would you like to say? To ask, please feel free. Remember, we are not our thoughts, sentiments, or feeling. Thank you for being with us today. Wishing you a very good and happy week. The question is one that I would like to ask. Until Thursday, would you like to have another session? This is the question. How do you feel about this? Yanis, Jill, how do you feel about it? Until Thursday, would you like to have another session? Fernando, how it is with you? Last week you say it's too long. You like? When would you like to have another session? Which time? Today is Monday. Until Thursday, 72 hours, where would you like to pearl another session? You can on Wednesday. Excellent. Excellent. So we shall meet here on Wednesday at the same time. Yes? Excellent. Excellent. So we shall do. Thank you so much and wishing you a very good week and beautiful life. Shalom, shalom.